If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 8 through to verse 17 of this passage. If you're using one of the church Bibles, it's on page 1180. So Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 8 through to verse 17. And this is God's word. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith has been reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged to each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Amen. We thank God for his word. Please keep this passage in Romans 1 open in front of you if you have a Bible. And we're going to be looking specifically at verse 16 this morning. Verse 16. Have you ever felt ashamed? Have you ever had a moment in your life where you felt really embarrassed? Something where you just wish you left that moment and went home, back into your house, away from everyone? I'm sure at some point in your life you've all been to a primary school play. Maybe you've acted in a primary school play, or you've been to watch someone in a primary school play. And as you know, all the children have lines to say. They all have different places to be. They all have different wee movements to do during the play. And they all have the lovely costumes. They've been practicing for weeks. And everyone knows their position on stage. Every child has learnt their words. And then the play begins. All the children are speaking clearly. They're remembering where they had to stand. They're remembering their lines. And then the moment comes when a young boy steps forward, and he's about to speak, and he's learnt his lines, but then he freezes. He can't remember what he's meant to say. He has a mental block. He can't remember his lines, and everyone is sitting in the audience waiting for him to speak, but he can't remember. The teacher whispers to him his lines, and then he says them, and he remembers. And after the show, the poor little boy feels totally embarrassed, totally ashamed. He just wants to go home. He doesn't want to talk to anyone. He thinks everyone in his class is laughing at him. He thinks all the parents are going home saying, "Wasn't that wee boy so cute?" He couldn't remember his lines. But he is totally ashamed of himself. Maybe there's been moments in your life or in my life where we have felt a bit like that. Maybe at work or at school or amongst our families, where we've just felt totally embarrassed. But more importantly, have there ever been times in your life or in my life where we felt like that about the gospel? Where we felt like that about our church? Where we felt that we're just totally ashamed or embarrassed to invite someone to that meeting because we just don't know how they'll react, because we're so embarrassed about it. Or maybe when a visitor comes to church, we maybe think, oh, our church isn't popular. Our church, that they're not going to like it. I'm embarrassed about my church. I'm ashamed of my church, or I'm ashamed of the gospel. I'm sure if you're like me this morning, you probably have felt like that at some point in your life. Ashamed or embarrassed about the gospel. We see the devil wants us to be ashamed of the gospel. The devil wants us to be embarrassed about the gospel. And so my message for us this morning is that we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. Christians, if you're a Christian this morning, going into a new year, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of this amazing message that God has so freely given to us. So this morning I want to look at three reasons why we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel from verse 16. So three reasons why we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. And the first reason is this. Don't be ashamed of the gospel because, first of all, it is the power of God. If you look down at verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God." It is the power of God. Whenever I was preparing this and looking at this passage, I went on to Google to find the definition of power. And the definition that I was given is that power is the capacity or ability to directly influence the course of events. Basically, power impacts, power changes, power directly influences the thing that it's focusing on. Power impacts people. You think whenever an American president gives a rousing speech, what he says can change and shape the views of the people that are listening. Power changes. At this point in the Bible, the Roman Empire is the greatest empire on earth. They're a great empire taking over a vast amount of the world. And why are they so great? Well, they're great because they're powerful. They had power. They invaded nations. They ruled over people. They built themselves up. They developed themselves as a nation. They had almighty physical and military power. And they had that power to conquer a large portion of the world. But the power here that the Roman Empire has, it wasn't a good power. It was a power that killed. It was a power that destructed. It was a power that caused hurt and damage. But the gospel, friends, has a different power than the power of the Roman Empire. The gospel has a greater power than the power of the Roman Empire. Because the gospel is the power of God. The Greek word here, dunamis, means dynamism, explosive power, dynamic power. And that's the gospel. The gospel is this explosive power that changes. Note that it doesn't say that the church is the power of God, or it doesn't say that the people is the power of God, or it doesn't say that the preacher is the power of God. No, it's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. The good news that Jesus Christ saves, that is the power of God. Where does this power originate? Where does this power come from? Well, it doesn't originate from anyone or anything other than God. This power comes from God. See, some people think that this power comes from the church, or some people think that this power comes from people or from men. But here this passage tells us that the gospel is the power of God. Well, why does Paul describe the gospel here as powerful? Why use the word power? Why not say it's strong, or why not say it's forceful? Well, part of the reason he uses the word power is because he's trying to be relevant to the Romans who are going to be reading this letter. He's trying to be relevant to them because they knew what power was. The Roman Empire, as I said, was so powerful. But the main reason that Paul is using the word power is because power is essential to destroy our sin. Power is essential to break through the sin that is in our lives. You see, the sin in your life and in my life is so strong, it's so gripping, that only a powerful movement will break its chains. Only a powerful thing, as powerful as the gospel, can release us from the sin that we're entangled in. As human beings, we have sin genetically in our bodies. Our human nature at birth is sinful. It's evil, it's wicked. We are genetically sinful people, wrapped up in the chains of sin. Our need, our condition is so bad, it's so weak, it's so dirty. The stronghold of the devil around us is so strong that only a divine power will free us. Only something as powerful as the gospel has any hope of giving us freedom from our sin. Whenever I think about that, I always wonder, well, where does my sin take me? Where does my sin take me to? Well, if you look down at verse 18, we see what happens to people who are living in their sin. Verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And friends, that ungodliness, that's you and me, that's what we are like, a sinful people. God must punish our sin. Do you see why it's power that's needed to break us from our sin? Do we see why it's the power of the gospel alone, that can free us from our sin? The good news of Jesus Christ is needed to stand between us and the wrath and punishment of God. You know, there's some people that think that it's the church that's going to stand in there between us and God's wrath. Some people think that it's their church attendance. Some people think it's the amount of times they go to church or the amount of money that they give to church. Some people think that has the power to free us from our sin. But what does Paul say? What does the Bible say? Well, it says that it's only the power of the gospel. Only the power of the gospel that can free us from our ungodliness. Friends, the gospel can and will break the chains of every heart which it penetrates. Has it broken into your heart this morning? If it hasn't, you stand in verse 18 without the covering of Jesus Christ. If it hasn't broken into your heart, you stand on your own with nothing around you. But if it has broken into your heart this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus, will you stand in verse 18 with Christ's righteousness covering you? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. First of all, because it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Secondly, the second reason not to be ashamed of the gospel is because it is for salvation. It is for salvation. Again, in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Here's now the purpose of the gospel. We've got its purpose. The word for here is specifically placed. We aren't to be ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for what? For salvation. To grant people new life. To give people hope. To give people a purpose. Here is the gospel's mission. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the life and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gospel. And his mission His sole purpose was to save his people from their sin and provide eternal life for sinners like us. God's plan was to give his people salvation through Jesus Christ. When the gospel is proclaimed, God's Spirit works and brings people to salvation. What is salvation? What does it actually mean? We hear it a lot. We hear it at church. We read it in the Bible. What does salvation actually mean? Well, salvation means to rescue people from their sin. To rescue people from that sin that we looked at earlier. And to bring them into a state of holiness, righteousness, and forgiveness before God. It means to be given life forever by God. Think of pollution in a rubbish dump. Our hearts, as I said, are polluted. Our hearts are like a rubbish dump. But yet salvation means that our hearts are lifted out of that rubbish dump. They're cleaned and they're taken away from the rubbish dump. That's what salvation is. It means to be given a new life from God. Sometimes I think that we think that once we have salvation in Christ, then our life doesn't really have to change. Sometimes we think that, you know, if we have salvation, it's a one-off thing and nothing else has to happen. Well, actually, salvation involves, once we're saved, having a personal holiness with God or a personal relationship with God, a day-to-day walk with God. Does that mean it's the ritual of praying so many times a day? Or does that mean it's a ritual of doing so many good things in a day? Well, that's not what a personal relationship with God is. John MacArthur, a preacher in America, gives this definition of a personal relationship with God. He says, personal holiness or a personal relationship involves growing to be like God in character and conduct by personally submitting to the work of God's Word and Spirit. Growing to be like God in our character and what we're like, and in our conduct and how we act by submitting to God's Word and to God's Spirit. When we have salvation in our hearts and our lives, that's what our lives should look like. A genuine care to be more like God, to want to be more like Christ. To live more like Christ, to submit more and obey more to his word. When we have salvation, is that what our lives look like? When we look into our hearts, is that what our hearts are like? Is that what our conduct is like? This doesn't mean claiming to have this salvation by saying the right thing, but then not allowing the Bible and God's Word to shape how we live. Salvation from God means being saved by Christ, and it then means growing and walking with him. Is that your experience this morning of salvation? Is that my experience of salvation? Can you say that about your own heart? That Christ has redeemed you from your sin and now you are walking with him, genuinely striving to be more like Christ? If it isn't your experience, if that's not really deep down what our hearts are like, then we probably don't have a genuine, true salvation and true love for our Saviour. It's the power of God for salvation. Well, who is this salvation for? Who's it for? Look again at verse 16. The power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Some people think that this phrase, everyone who believes, means every single person ever created in the history of the world. Some people think that this phrase means that everybody, Everyone who has lived and everyone that will live will be saved. That's what some people think this phrase means. Well, this phrase actually means, going by God's word, it means that the gospel is offered to everybody. Salvation is for everybody who believes. Everyone who puts their faith in Christ. Everyone who has a faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation here is offered by God to us, to everybody, but it's not universally enjoyed. It's not received by everyone. It's offered to all, but only received by some. Where do you stand this morning? Salvation has been offered or is being offered to you. Will you believe and have faith in Christ? Salvation is offered to everyone who believes. But who else is this salvation for? Well, this verse goes on. If you look down at the last line of verse 16, it says, first for the Jew, the Jewish people, and then for the Gentile, the non-Jewish people. This verse goes on to show us the nations that have salvation offered to them. There's a lot of debate about what this actually means, the Jew first and then the Gentile. Really, this order of salvation follows Paul's ministry. If you think throughout Paul's ministry, where does he normally begin his preaching? Whenever he visits a city, he normally goes to the synagogue. He normally starts to preach the gospel to the Jewish people first. He preached Christ crucified as a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And why did he do that? Because he's upholding the promise that God had given to bless his own people, his chosen people, the Jews. So yes, the gospel is to go out to the Jews. And Paul made an effort to preach to the Jews first. But throughout the ministry of Jesus, of Paul, of Peter, of the apostles, when they preached to the Jews, they also went to the Gentiles. The Jewish people, they rejected the message of the gospel. But the Gentiles absorbed it, let it in, let it change their lives. You see, Paul here in this phrase is breaking down a cultural wall that originally kept the gospel for only one nation. And Paul is now opening up the gospel so that it can go forward to any nation, to all nations, to all people, to all cultures. There's no longer a distinction or a separation. The gospel now is offered to the Jews and to the non-Jews. What does that look like for us in Northern Ireland? Well, that means that the gospel is offered to all people, to people of all religions, of all nationalities, people who are atheists, people who are Muslim, people who are French, Polish, all people. The gospel is offered out to all people. What great news for you and for me that the gospel has been offered to people like us. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because it's for salvation. So we've seen first two reasons. Don't be ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel because it's for salvation. And then thirdly and finally, don't be ashamed of the gospel because we can boast in it. Now we're going back to the start of the verse, that word ashamed. Verse 16 again. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul, in his character, wasn't the sort of person who was reluctant to preach the gospel. Always imagine Paul as this fire-blazing character, full of passion for his Saviour. And he's never afraid to proclaim the message of Christ. At this point, when he's writing this letter, Paul has never actually been to Rome, and he refers to that in his letter. He's never been to Rome, but he's planning to go. And if you think about Rome at this time, if you put it in the context of this great empire, this great nation, and Rome was the central point, the capital, full of highly qualified, highly educated, highly professional people, all of whom will probably put Paul under a lot of scrutiny, under a lot of criticism. People who are so intelligent, they'll maybe say to Paul, "Why are you believing that nonsense about Jesus Christ? Why are you preaching that? Why are you so passionate about that? That's silly. That's stupid. That's just a theory. Why would you believe such nonsense?" Does that scare Paul? Does the thought of proclaiming this message to people who are so educated and professional and smart, does that scare him? No. He actually talks in this passage about being eager to preach. He actually is keen to proclaim this message. He's passionate to deliver the message of the gospel to any type of listener, because this message is real in his heart. When he says in verse 16 that he is not ashamed, he's saying, "I am proud of the gospel. I am proud to preach this message. I am privileged. I am overjoyed to have received this message and then to be able to go out and proclaim it." And why not? Why would he not be like that? He's been saved by God's grace. He has been changed. He has had a transformation in his heart, and all he wants to do is pass that on to other people. Do you and I respond to the gospel like that? Does the gospel get us excited? Does the gospel get us fill us with passion and joy about what has happened in our lives? I mentioned at the start about being ashamed of being a Christian or being ashamed of our church. And there have been times, I'm sure, where we have felt ashamed. And there will be times when we will feel ashamed. But really, when we think about that, why should we feel ashamed? We have been given the greatest gift of all. Does it really matter what that other person thinks about us? Does it really matter about what that other person thinks about our church? It doesn't. Our job is to proclaim the great message of Jesus Christ to other people. Being ashamed of the gospel, if we are feeling ashamed this morning of the gospel, if we felt ashamed over this past year about the gospel, actually that means that we're too concerned about the thoughts of other people. We're too concerned about what other people think. Is that you or me this morning? Are we letting the views of other people shape our lives? Are we letting what other people think impact how we live? And that's resulted in us being ashamed of the gospel. Are we too worried about how other people will view us if we tell them we're a Christian? If we tell them, I was at church at the weekend. Or maybe we're ashamed. I think maybe this is more the reason why we might be ashamed. Maybe we've been ashamed this past year because we're scared of how people will react whenever we tell them we're Christians. Maybe we're scared that somebody might get aggressive. Or maybe we're scared because somebody will just decide to passively ignore us for the rest of our career at our work. Well, did that bother Paul? In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, this is what Paul says about the troubles he faced of proclaiming the gospel. This is what it says. 2 Corinthians 11:23 says this. in far more labours, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, robbers, countrymen, Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, and dangers among false brethren. Life, friends, would have been so much easier for Paul if he had just kept his mouth closed. So much easier. Look at what he endured. That bit where it says, 5 times I received 39 lashes from the Jews. Being beaten for the gospel. Was Paul ashamed of how people would react? Because he was a Christian? Because he was proclaiming Christ? Absolutely not. That made him more eager. That made him more keen. That made him more passionate to deliver and to preach the message of the gospel. Friends, going into this new year on Tuesday, boast in the gospel in a humble and gracious way. Let's be people who want to proclaim that message, who want to take the message of the gospel out to other people with our lips, with our hands, with our feet. Let's be people in this new year who aren't ashamed of it, who aren't people who are embarrassed about it. Let's be people going into a new year who don't worry about what other people will think about us, who don't worry about how our friends might react. Let's be people who are bold and will preach this message. 3 reasons not to be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to break through our sin. It's the salvation of God to everyone who believes. And it's a reason to boast graciously in the almighty love and forgiveness of Christ. I trust our prayer is in this new year that we will view the message of the gospel as a great message. As a message that gives us freedom from our sin. A message that gives us eternal life in Christ. And that we will vow to proclaim that message with our lips, with our hands, with our feet, with our minds in the days ahead. Amen.